Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, we welcome back to our studios the Ocean State Theater Company. Amy Turner is back. Welcome back, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And you've brought a special guest, someone that I'm very happy to meet today. Mark is going to be playing in the starring role of this upcoming presentation, right?
He is.
And the upcoming presentation is?
The Diary of Anne Frank.
And I am playing Anne.
And you are playing
starring
Anne?
Yes.
Well, actually,
she didn't say the title character.
a starring role. Mr. Frank, you're going to be playing.
Yes.
Mark Cartier is here. Mark is fairly well-known, or a possibility of being well-known to the audiences at Ocean State Theater, because you've performed there before, right?
Yes. Actually, in the past year, I've done three shows, so this will be number four. They've been very nice to me so far.
That's great. And those shows included which?
I was in the inaugural, that's a good word,
yeah,
inaugural
is.
Production of Fools last year, and then I was in Miracle on 34th Street at Christmas time this year,
mm-hmm.
and I was recently in Laughter on the 23rd Floor, another Neil Simon.
Right, Laughter on the 23rd Floor was a great production, as are all the productions at Ocean State Theater.
You're very kind.
If you've heard me talk about the theater, you know that I'm a very big fan of what goes on there and the productions and everything. And Amy, a successful season is about to come to a kind of a close. You have Diary of Anne Frank, which is going to open this Friday. And then after that, that's going to run for a few weeks. Then you have
42nd Street. Yeah, that will be our closing musical.
There you go. But then we have other things to announce.
Well, we do, actually. That's right. We have recently announced that we're going to expand our summer programming. Last year, we dipped our toes into the summer with Legally Blonde, the musical. And this year, we're going to actually do two presentations. In June, we're going to do Always Patsy Cline, a wonderful two-person play with a lot of Patsy Cline music in it, about Patsy Cline and a fan who became her friend. Very, very lovely story. And then arguably the best musical comedy theater ever, in July, we'll present Guys and Dolls.
Wow. So that's quite a summer. Crazy. Actually, okay, now, Mark, see, well, this is a little bit of music. I know you're not necessarily a singer, correct?
No,
you're
no,
an actor.
No.
But who wrote the song Crazy? I stumped
you. No, I don't know.
Do you know Amy?
I think it's Willie Nelson, isn't it?
Very good.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. I absolutely was going to say that.
There you go.
We get a point and a half.
All right, point and a half. All right. So let's get to the Diary of Anne Frank. And when does this, for those people that don't know, I think they're the one person or two in the whole world that don't know about this story. Takes place when, Mark? When does this start?
It's in World War II, of course, and it begins in 1942, was when the family first went into hiding in Amsterdam. They were living in Amsterdam at the time, and they knew that the Jews were being rounded up. It was beginning to happen. They could not get out. They could not get passports or visas, so they could not escape the country. And they figured the best thing for them to do would be to go into hiding. And Otto Frank was a businessman, and he owned a business, and on the top floor of this business that he had, he knew that they could move up there and they could live there in secret. And they invited another family, the Vandans, to move in with them. And they managed to stay up there until late 1944. So they were in there for over 2 years.
Wow.
It's
and the play takes place during that time period specifically?
Exactly.
Okay.
It goes from when they first go in until the end of the war. We meet Otto again at the end of the war, and we find out what happens to all of the characters.
All right. And Amy, you brought some music which is not part of the show at Ocean State Theater, but part of the Anne Frank story, right?
Yeah, this adaptation that I chose is actually the first Broadway adaptation. The Diary of Anne Frank has been, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit more later, translated into many different mediums and many different languages. But the Frances Goodrich and Albert Hackett adaptation, which is the one that we're doing, was on Broadway in the 1950s, and it was made into a film in 1959. And so I've chosen some bits of music from that film.
All right, so we'll start off with the overture from that piece. Have that magnificent music to get us in the mood and the flavor of the event. Let's go back to Mark and talk a little bit about your past history. Did you study theater in school? Did you just become amazingly talented right off the bat, or what happened to you?
I think I played either a letter or a number in preschool, and I was hooked from that moment on.
And what town was that in?
Actually, let me think. Now, I originally grew up in Uxbridge, Massachusetts, right over the border.
Right near the Cock and Kettle.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Amy, for those of you that you're not from around or southeastern New England, so we say where the things used to be.
Correct.
Exactly.
I'm learning. I don't know what you're talking about, but I understand.
Right. That's right. And then when I was in second grade, we moved to New Bedford. New Bedford.
New Bedford.
That's how you say it.
I know. I was born there.
That you were?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe you guys know each other.
We do.
I graduated New Bedford High School in 1972, the final class to graduate from the old building.
Okay. Since we're taking time to do this, I'll tell you that you had my uncle as a teacher.
Did I?
His name was Walter Owen. He was an art teacher. Do you remember that name?
Wow. I don't think I took an art class.
Oh, okay.
I didn't take an art class.
If you were taking an art class, you would have known him. But now we got that out of the way.
But my drama teachers when I was at New Bedford High were George Charbonneau and Armin Marchand.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes, indeed.
New Bedford Festival Theater.
Yep, exactly.
New Bedford Festival Theater, which George and Armin have both been on the show before and will probably be again. They're two great theater people.
They do wonderful work, and they're great fans of ours, and we love to reciprocate almost every summer going out to see their wonderful productions.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they were my first mentors in theater when I was in high school. So
there you go.
It all comes full circle.
And then from New Bedford, you decided to go away?
No, I stayed right nearby. I went to SMU, which is now UMass Dartmouth.
Right.
Angus Bailey was there at the time. He was big with the Little Theater of Fall River for quite a few years also. But then I transferred my sophomore year to Bridgewater State College in southeastern Mass. And I live in that area now. I live in West Bridgewater, one town away.
Okay.
And I studied theater there and went right into a children's theater right from college. Went to Boston Shakespeare Company in the late 70s, early 80s. But the bulk of my career was actually in Boston at the Charles Playhouse in Sheer Madness. I was in Sheer Madness for 20 years.
20 years.
20 years. And there are people who are still there who were there when I arrived.
Wow.
A fellow by the name of Patrick Shea, who lives right here in Warwick, is a cast member at Sheer Madness, and he's been there all this time. It's one of those comedy murder mysteries that just has a life of its own.
It just keeps going.
It's the Energizer Bunny of theaters. Yep, exactly.
And
that's where most of my work has been done over the years.
Well, it's great to have you here and find out your background. And we'll do a little bit more of that later, Amy. We're going to get to another piece of music. This one is called The First Day. Anything to tell us about that?
No, I think it's, what's interesting about the orchestration for film really is how they do help tell a story visually. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't incorporate that same aspect in the theatrical storytelling on stage. But I do think that it's interesting to imagine, you know, what the fears, what the hopes, what the anxieties and excitement would be if you knew you were going into hiding with people you didn't know and didn't know how long you would be there. So that's kind of what this is about.
Amy, I mentioned earlier that previews would be this coming Wednesday and Thursday both afternoon and evening.
That's right.
And then opening night on Friday, right?
Absolutely.
And if people would like to get tickets to the show, they can do that how?
Well, you can go to our website, oceanstatetheater.org, or call the box office, 401-921-6800. We open every day at noon. And the show runs through April 13th, and there's plenty of matinees, evening performances, and if you're a teacher out there, we do still have some student matinees with a little bit of room in them as well, which are very early morning shows for kids that are studying this book or this period of time.
That would be great. We're going to go right to another piece of music and then take a short break and be back with more of the Ocean State Theater and their performance of The Diary of Anne Frank. Back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Amy Turner from the Ocean State Theater Company and Mark Cartier, eh?
Hey.
I said Cartier in the first segment, but it's Cartier.
I even use my middle initial as my stage name, so it's Mark S. Cartier.
Sorry.
Who does he think he is? George C. Scott? Michael J. Fox? Who is this guy?
Is he S for sorry?
Yes.
No.
Well, that's very fancy.
And we've already established from New Bedford, so he's got to be French, eh?
Hey.
See? So there, you know, we'll get back to more of that a little bit later. We're talking about the diary of Anne Frank and the story that takes place during World War II of this young lady. And it's Amy, if you had to sum up the story for someone that had no idea about what this was, other than the fact that it took place during World War II, how would you tell them?
Honestly, I've actually thought about this quite a bit. You're not the first person to ask that. I think it's about life. And I think that the play is about how difficult it is to extinguish life. And that kind of may seem counterintuitive, but, you know, when you think about this, what makes this so special, I think, is that these are actual words that came from an actual 13-year-old. And we've all been 13, and many of us a 13-year-old girl, or we've known 13-year-old girls. And it's such an amazing period in a child's life between 13 and 15. And, you know, regardless of the ultimate outcome, which I think we all know what ended up happening to this young lady, she did not survive. But the other side of that coin is she did. And through the care of her father and through the inevitability of life itself continuing, she grew up over those 2 years. And she learned, and she learned about herself, and she learned about the people around her. She learned tolerance and love. And that's what's so amazing. And I think why this piece is so universally interesting. Mm-hmm. Quite literally universally interesting to so many people, because I think it really is about life.
Now, Mark, do you find yourself playing the father, right?
Yes.
Mr. Frank is Anne's father. Do you find yourself in a position of trying to imagine what it could possibly be like to live on that upper floor for 2 years and being in secret compared to the life that we experience every day? You and I walked in this morning to the studio and weren't worried about too much, except what time you're going to get back to rehearsal and that kind of thing. But how did that go for you?
Well, this is actually something that Amy gave us as homework, as actors, to work on as a group. And first individually, before we came into rehearsals, and then as a group, once we started working in the rehearsal hall. And she told us to really think about what that would be like to be in a space where you can't get out. For a long time. It's hard to imagine, really. It's hard to fathom because, as you say, we see the fresh air every day. We get to go out. But it's been quite a thing for us to immerse ourselves in that reality, to try to immerse ourselves in that reality, because we want to tell the story as honestly as possible. Right. We want to honor truly the memory of these people because they represent everybody who lived through those horrors in World War II.
Let's take another piece of music at this point, and then we'll be back with more. title of that last piece was called Date with Peter, and this next piece we're going to hear is called First Kiss, so I'm presuming those two have something to do with each other.
They do. So there are five adults in the annex and three children, Anna and her sister Margot, and the other family's son, Peter. And so relating to the fact that I think life just continues and it's really hard to actually stop it. These young people do grow and mature. And even in this circumstance, Anne and Peter find themselves working through a relationship, kind of literally, where at first they're very young and immature and don't really like each other and butt heads, but ultimately come to really respect one another and kind of start dating, if you will, by being allowed to go into his room for some privacy. And they really find a kindred spirit in one another, actually almost like an opposite kindred spirit that they really have the opportunity to talk to. And ultimately, they are able to share their first kiss while they're in hiding. Music we've been listening to today comes from one particular recording
This next piece, however, is something a little bit different. Why did you choose this one?
Well, this is actually from a Japanese anime version called Anananiki, I believe is how you pronounce it. But I think that for me, it's so intriguing how everyone knows the name Anne Frank, and her diary's been translated into just almost every single language that exists, and there's been so many different tellings of the story. And I don't think you would immediately think that it would be a story told in Japan to great success, but it is. So this is actually one of the pieces of music from that version.
All right. Well, listen to that and then take a short break and be back with more of Ocean State Theater and the Diary of Anne Frank.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ocean State Theater's Amy Turner and Mark Cartier, who is playing the role of Mr. Frank in The Diary of Anne Frank, which is starting this coming week, Wednesday and Thursday previews, Friday night, opening night. And Amy, there's lots of interesting people in the cast. We talked about Mark and his presence at the Ocean State Theater, being there for Fools and for Miracle on 34th Street, yeah, and Laughter on the 23rd Floor.
Exactly.
You have a lot of numbers in your...
yeah, I don't know how that worked out, but it did.
Tell us about some other people in this cast.
Well, it's a great ensemble, actually, full of, like our normal protocol is, we have some local folk along with some people from the greater Rhode Island area, I call it, like Mark, but also a couple of actors coming up from New York. We're also thrilled that our marketing director, Karen Kessler, will be making her theater, Ocean State Theater debut. But I think that the focus really is on these three great teenagers that we found for this production. I'm so excited to have these characters played by teenagers. The title character, Anna, is played by Olivia Gisaldi, and Peter is Brian Roque. They're both from LaSalle Academy. That's where they go to school. I believe that they are from the Warwick and the Cranston area. And then Alexandra Fortin is going to Exeter West Greenwich High School right now. So it's really unbelievably brave of them to first come and audition and then to embrace these very challenging characters. But for me, it's a joy to see that youthfulness portrayed by youths, if you will. Bring such a wonderful quality to what they're doing.
That's great. It'll be fun to see them on stage. It'll be great to see Karen on stage. I can't wait to see Karen Kessler and her Ocean State Theater debut. We have another piece of music that has an interesting title, Psalm.
Yeah, Psalm 121. I think that you can't deny the spirituality that is implied and implicit in this piece. There's a part of the journey of this young lady is to reaffirm her faith. Obviously, this is about the persecution of the Jewish religion and the Jewish culture. But this play uses, and I think they used spirituality and religion a lot in their survival. Psalm 121 is represented in this play. And for me, not only is a very important part of the play itself, but I think it kind of helps remind us that so many of us are familiar with and care about the same psalms.
My eyes to the mountains. When will help come to me? My help is come from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Our help is from the Lord, our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Path of force beside me, the guardian of Israel.
Our help is from the Lord, our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our help is from the Lord, our help is from the Lord, who made
Mark? Mark, I have a question for you since we're going to wrap this up and time has been great. Thank you, first of all, for coming in. It's been great to spend time with you and get to know you a little bit.
Oh, thanks for having us.
I would question the fact that the last time I saw you was Laughter on the 23rd Floor.
Right.
And you played an interesting character who was how would you describe the loud... not necessarily loud, but kind of dominant character that you were in that. Right?
I was the Russian fellow by the name of Val,
right.
Who was the head writer on the show. Mm-hmm. It was based on the Sid Caesar show, but it was called the Max Prince Show in the play. And Val was a rather profane fellow. Mm-hmm. English was his second language. I had some very
the
colorful lines.
Was his first.
Oh yes, yes,
right.
This is a very different thing that I'm doing this time.
And I guess, I guess that's the question. I think our audience appreciates actors and seeing them in different roles. And occasionally you'll see an actor in one role is completely opposite. And I'm sure the common person like myself says, how does he do that?
It's just part of what we do, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I've been very lucky because three shows in a row now, I've gone from a musical, which is something I don't normally do, where I played Mr. Macy in Miracle on 34th Street. Got to sing and dance a little, which was a lot of fun, a little intimidating for me, I'll have to admit. then into a comedy, which is kind of my safe zone.
Right.
And now I'm going into a drama. And I love doing drama as well, but it's three very different roles and three very different styles of show. It's great to be able to work in different styles. I do Shakespeare in the summer up in Maine. That's another one of my stock and trades. So to be able to do all these different things is part of why I think you become an actor in the first place.
And it's part of why you should get out and see this production at Ocean State Theater Company, which opens this week. And Amy, one more time, if people are interested in buying tickets, they can do so by calling or going online, right?
Sure. Call us in the box office any day, afternoon, 401-921-6800. Or, of course, you can stop by right there on Jefferson Boulevard. We love saying hello to everybody. Or go on our website, oceanstatetheater.org. And I encourage people to like us on Facebook as well. We have a lot of information regularly posted on our Facebook page.
And the website is great. All kinds of information there. Directions are there. If you haven't been there before, there's free parking and a great theater to see any production in. And you can even have a beverage before or during intermission.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's a very,
very
nice
comfortable
thing.
Lobby.
Very comfortable. Very comfortable indeed. We have one more piece of music to listen to. I don't know if we'll get the whole thing in, but we'll try. Tell us about this.
This is going back to that 1959 version of this adaptation that we're doing. And, I think it's just a nice, interesting, music tends to make you think about places that you are. And this is entitled In Hiding.
All right. We'll listen to that. And Amy, thanks for coming in. Great to see you again.
Very, very much my pleasure.
Okay. We'll see all of you next week on Conducting Conversations. Thank you. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.